Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits. Together, we're going to dive deep into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits. We'll be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other total awards you're offered, we've got you covered. Our aim is to empower you with the knowledge and understanding you need to make informed decisions. So join your hosts, Maggie and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits. Hi, I'm Maggie McConnell.
And I'm Zach Ward, and we are your co-hosts for Hub Horan's Employee Benefits Podcast, The Benefits Beat. Today's episode, we're going to be unpacking the essentials of nutrition. We'll explore what nutrition really means for our listeners and how it's got an undeniable impact on our health, and share some tips and resources, tricks that hopefully will help you navigate your nutrition journey.
So nutrition, I think it's obviously a word we hear a lot, but I don't think we really understand what it entails. At its core, I think nutrition is about nutrients in the food that fuels our bodies. You know, it is split up into two main categories. You have your macronutrients and your micronutrients. So, Zach, do you know what those are?
I have no idea, but thankfully you've written them down for me. All right, I just wanted to get that in there.
That was pretty good, though. I hope that's okay.
I hope Andrea, you love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maggie, so macronutrients are really things like carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. They're what I would consider to be the building blocks of our diet, right? When you think about counting my macros, which you hear a lot of people say, this is what they're talking about, right? How much protein am I getting? How much healthy fats am I getting in my diet? And then how much carbohydrates? I love carbohydrates, by the way. Pasta is by far the best. Micronutrients on the other end of the spectrum are really the vitamins and minerals that are crucial for disease prevention, well-being, even if we're eating just a small amount of them. If you're trying to follow a well-balanced diet, one that's rich in fruits and vegetables, grains, proteins, and healthy fats, then you're most likely getting the right amount of macronutrients, but also the micronutrients that are involved in all foods.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And, you know, I think the food we eat obviously has a profound effect on our health. I think everyone knows that. So if you're eating bad, you're going to feel bad. You're not getting the same micro and macronutrients that you need. So, for instance, a diet low in saturated fats and high in fruits and vegetables can really reduce the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and obesity. So studies have linked excessive sugar intake to obviously obesity and type 2 diabetes, but even certain cancers. So people with chronic diseases, healthy eating can really help manage these conditions and prevent complications. So according to the CDC, you know I love my facts, according to the CDC, fewer than 1 in 10 children and adults eat recommended daily amount of vegetables, which is kind of pretty alarming to me, especially when there are so many ways that you can still get those daily dose of vegetables without sacrificing taste.
Maggie, if you don't mind me asking, I know you deal with diabetes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. How does the food intake that you put in your body affect your health personally?
You know, it's actually, as I'm growing up, I don't think I really realized it. You know, I was the kid eating all the sugars, all the processed foods that any other kid eats. I would just, you know, have to give myself insulin for them. But, you know, as I get older and I'm, you know, actually paying attention to what I'm eating, trying to eat an actual healthy diet, a balanced diet where I am getting all those nutrients that I need, I am very much seeing the differences those, you know, have on my body and my blood sugar. So, for example, I always bring up bagels. I love bagels. They're amazing.
Just had some this morning.
And I did too. And wow, did that mess up my blood sugar. So it does have a lot of sugars in it. So growing up, I would eat them and I wasn't necessarily taking care of my blood sugar the way I should have been. So I would deal with the blood sugar spikes like anything else. But now as an adult, even if I have like the smallest amount of a bagel, it will completely spike my blood sugar almost immediately. And it is so, so, so hard to get back down. So, you know, obviously I have my monitor that shows me what I'm eating and how it affects my body. Not everyone has that, but it is pretty, you know, wild to see how the different things I eat affect my blood sugar.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about COVID was that I felt like people had the time at home to get into things that they typically wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like one that's been going around for the last few years is bread making. So,
oh my God, yes.
You may make fun of me a little bit, but I've been trying to get a sourdough starter going. trying for weeks, and I threw it away once because it wasn't working. But just things like that for me is where, like, I love bread. Mm-hmm. I won't probably ever take bread out of my diet. Mm-hmm. But trying to find a, in this case, sourdough is supposed to be more healthy for you. It's supposed to be less ingredients, et cetera. Trying to find healthier alternatives to things that I love for me is what works. And I think we've talked about this a couple of times on the podcast, but for any of our topics for exercise, for nutrition, I don't think it's about following one set guidelines of, mm-hmm. hey, get this amount of protein or get this amount of carbohydrates, whatever the case is. It's all about finding that what works for you. For exactly. me, it's, yeah. I'm not very good at, I love food. I'm not very good at managing what I'm eating, but it's trying to find healthier options of the things that I do like that for me has been very helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And I think exactly as you're talking about trying to make your own sourdough and, you know, there are less ingredients, but I think one of the biggest keys of this, and like, I think it's awesome how people are getting into their own bread making and cooking and, you know, gardening or whatever COVID brought out the hobbies in you. But I also think it's such a difference because it's, you can go buy sourdough on a shelf. However, it is going to be more processed because mm-hmm. they do have to include those, you know, things that make the shelf life longer.
Right.
And you know, like a white bread has a lot more sugar in it than like a whole grain bread, which, and even then it still is more processed because you're buying it straight from the shelf, which you're just going to include more of those things that you don't want in your body.
I'm always extremely shocked when I go to multiple different grocery stores, right? Of if you go to a natural or what I'd consider to be a healthier grocery store, your stuff doesn't last longer mm-hmm. or as long, I should say. It is gone within 3 to 4 days because there's not that preservative that's going to make it last 2 weeks on the shelf. It is fresh. It's made with real ingredients that a lot of times just they just don't last. And yeah. you have to go more often, but it always shocks me to your point about preservatives, how long it lasts, and knowing what I'm putting in my body.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and you know, I think, you know, we just talked about how you're not getting the amount of vegetables and fruits that you need, but I think a lot, one of the biggest barriers, at least, that I think holds people back from cooking their own food or following a more balanced diet is because when they think healthy, they think boring and bland. So there are still ways to get your vegetables into your system and your daily dose of vegetables without sacrificing that taste. So I'll never forget, I had just graduated college. I was making dinner for my friend who had come to visit me, and they were hesitant because they're not a chef, so they didn't know what I was doing. And I was cooking some turkey burgers, and they were watching me prep the meat, and as I was seasoning it, they go, oh, so what's that you're putting on it? And it was literally just pepper and garlic powder. I hadn't even gotten to the exciting stuff. So, you know, and they never considered that you can make a leaner meat taste good by literally just using a few spices. So I think their mind was really blown when I kept going and I added paprika, cayenne pepper, and, you know, a little homemade lemon aioli. And after dinner, they said they hadn't realized it wouldn't just taste like a ground up Thanksgiving turkey, mm-hmm. which blew my mind. Like, it's amazing that, you know, people aren't using spices to make healthier foods taste better. You know, that's better for your body.
To your point, Maggie, it can be a little bit of a hurdle to climb to say, can my food still taste good? Mm-hmm. But it's also if you go, it's really convenient to eat a lot of processed foods, a lot of packaged foods. I think the idea of a healthier eating style is daunting for a lot of our listeners.
It's definitely,
it seems like a big lifestyle change. It seems like a lot of hard work. It seems like a lot of time, effort, et cetera. I know when we were prepping for this, you were telling me how you and your husband kind of have made that change to a more healthier diet. Would mm-hmm. you mind sharing just some of the strategies that you've used?
Yeah, definitely. So we actually just got a magnetic whiteboard to put on our fridge. So we can at least start planning out our meals a little bit throughout the week. Like you said, it's easy to carry out from wherever. It's easy to go out and easy to buy all those processed foods, but we really wanted to make a mindful change to eat healthier. And so even by planning our meals, even a teeny bit has led us to spend less money and a lot less time at the grocery because we already know what we're eating ahead of time. And we've been eating significantly healthier because we're just sticking to recipes that really keep us, I say, on the outskirts of the grocery store. The minute I go down the actual aisles, I know I'm getting more processed foods that we're really trying to stay away from. sorry. And I don't think cooking always needs to be something that takes hours and hours to do. So I think, you know, when people are like, oh, I don't have time to cook. Well, you can always find easier alternatives or quicker meals that you can still make yourself that don't take a ton of time. So one of my favorite things to do is finding new recipes from, you know, the foodies of Instagram, because they usually taste the best and they take the least amount of time because, you know, they also have full-time jobs like we do. So it takes the least amount of time rather than choosing the first thing I see on Google when I type in for a random recipe. So, you know, don't forget to mix things up, do your research, and eat the variety of foods. It'll keep your meals exciting and ensure you're getting kind of the range of nutrients that you need.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip, really good idea. One of the things that's really helped me personally is I love to snack.
Who doesn't?
I don't know what it is, but having something just salty or sweet to munch on throughout the night or day or whatever is really, really helpful for me, but not helpful for me. See my mind going?
Okay, well, I'm going to drink some water while you're thinking.
Got it. Maggie, I think my favorite part about that is the outskirts of the grocery store. You do think about it, right? It's fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. Even the breads and stuff on the outskirts are typically fresher, et cetera. Mm-hmm. For me, I love to snack.
Yep.
It's just nice to have something sweet or salty just to munch on, watching TV, et cetera. But what we've ended up doing in the last month or so is trying to switch out from some of those snacks like Goldfish or Cheez-Its to something that's more nuts or yogurt or oatmeal or something along those lines that's, quite frankly, just better for me.
Yeah,
I don't need to sit here and eat. I will eat a whole bag of Oreos if you'll let me. Give me a nice glass of milk and I will eat the entire bag. Double stuffed only, but I will eat them.
If you give a mouse a cookie.
Exactly. So trying to find ways that, okay, if you're a snacker, that's fine. There's no problem with being a snacker. No, one thing I always hate is when people just say eat less food. It's terrible. Finding alternatives, again, to, okay, I love Oreos. If I can find some way to snack that I still enjoy. We found nuts with some cheese and raisins lately from Aldi. Mm-hmm. And they've been great. It's like, okay, great. I can go grab one of those. It gives me a little bit of energy, et cetera. Finding options like that have been really, really helpful for us.
Well, I think that's a great point. I mean, like you said, fruits, nuts. One of my favorite things is if we're making for dinner, you know, any sort of spaghetti squash or many kinds of squash or whatever, I can scoop out the seeds. I always clean the seeds, put them to the side, and I will put some Creole seasoning on them and cook them in the oven. And I'm like, this is the perfect snack. It gives me my spicy, my salty, and it's still filling because I can throw as many as I want in my mouth and it's still totally fine because I'm not, you know, like you said, eating an entire bag of Oreos instead. But looking at easy snacking recipes, like you said, that only have a couple ingredients, and then next time you go to the grocery store, look at the food labels of a similar snack that is prepackaged and, you know, on the shelves in the middle of the aisles. I think it's an easy and simple way to start making healthier choices when you make a point to be mindful enough to look at the ingredients that, how many ingredients they're putting in, like the same thing that you're making yourself.
Right. One of the things that I've loved to see over the past few years too is how involved employers are getting in this.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer just to your own devices. A lot of employers are looking for ways outside of, again, we talk about like the big three of medical, dental, vision of how can I make my employees' lives better overall versus mm-hmm. just covering them from an insurance standpoint. And a lot of them have started going to, maybe I realize that some of my population can't access this sort of food we're talking about. Is there a way that we can maybe provide it for them or give them resources that they can access, but also help out them eating healthier or just having better nutrition overall. I know personally a few years ago, our HR team provided us all Blue Apron meals during mm-hmm. our busy season. So for us, it was like, yes, this is very convenient, but it's also for me oftentimes more healthier.
Yeah.
And I think squash was one of the recipes that we made that I would never think about making personally, but it's easy. It's something that was provided to us by our company, which is awesome. And there's a lot more employers out there trying to find different things for their employees like this. So check with your HR teams, see if there's any resources or tools available for your nutritional counseling and things like that. a lot of times wellness programs will also have an app or a website that let you take free educational materials that you can use to get started on kind of your journey for healthier nutrition.
Definitely. And I think, you know, there's, you can never overestimate the internet, let's be real. So don't overlook those digital resources outside of your employer as well. Apps, you know, just Googling online resources for nutrition can be a fantastic, you know, there are fantastic tools for tracking your dietary intake. And if you don't even want to track it, just finding information on nutrition and finding healthy recipes and kind of where to get started.
So that wraps up our episode. Remember, making small changes in your diet can have a lot of big impacts on your health. Start where you are, use what you have, and figure out a way that works for you and do what you can. Until next time, take care and eat well.
Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and the plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative. Thanks for tuning in today. Our suggestion box is always open, so if you have a question you would like us to answer or a topic you would like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram at @TheBenefitsBeat. And remember to subscribe on your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode, and be sure to follow us on social media for more benefit tips and tricks.